Praise God. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Brother, Brother Phil, good to see you today, my brother. Good to see you. I need a church alive this morning. I need everybody all wired up. Can I get you wired up? Get you all excited. Hallelujah. I know we have a show. Marilyn's taking reservations for the diner. Passing out the water. I want to thank everybody for your birthday wishes. I want to thank everybody for your love, but I also want to tell the church, Zippy's birthday is coming up. Lily had a birthday yesterday, right? So say happy birthday to Zippy and Lily. I can tell you how old Lily is, but Zippy said, forget about it. So it's a beautiful, beautiful day in our church. Everybody's celebrating all the things together. Are you by yourself today? You're by yourself?
Yes.
Oh, he went to get without you? Oh, he's bringing her back. All right. Well, thank you. Good to see you. People, have you heard the noise? Have you heard the news in the country this past week? They say we turned the clocks back 50 years, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Now maybe we can start talking about a fetus again and talk about first trimester. Start talking about in the beginning instead of accepting abortion to the ninth month. Amen? It's unthinkable, and yes, we've gone backwards, but I say thank you, God, thank you, Jesus, for that one. But please, please, church, hear me. Remain humble. Please just remain humble. We didn't gain anything. We got a victory, and it's for babies, and we got a victory for people, and we just, anybody in their right mind would simply choose life. We could take it anywhere you want after that, but everybody would choose life. And I think that's where we got to start. But remain humble. Please understand, and you're not going to win the argument with somebody. Just know that God is in control, amen? And just God hears and God sees. Today I want you on fire, for this is a different message today than I've given in a while. So I really need you to be with me today and hang on to the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up and pray together today and celebrate God together. And learn that we don't argue with a fool because we end up sounding like a fool. Take that, and be humble. Be humble and say, Lord, thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what people are seeing. Yes, there's a change. Yes, Lord, because we've changed so far away from you. We're glad, Lord, for 50 years we've walked away from you. And maybe somebody took a turn and started walking back to you. Because you're the lover, you're the giver, you're the one who blesses, Lord. We just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that people see. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that people love you. We need more people to turn to God. That will change the nation. That one thing will change the nation. And I'm going to prove it to you today. We're using God's word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I bless you and I thank you for everybody in attendance. Every single person in this church is worthy. Every single person is wanted. Every single person is valuable because we're a family together, knit together. And when we knit ourselves together, we're stronger as a family. So thank you for this family today. Look around and see your brothers and sisters and say, we are stronger because you're here today. Flo is back in church. She wasn't feeling well. She's back. We're stronger because she's here today. So we stand on the word of God today, Lord, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, praise you, Lord. Thank you. should never have to tell somebody you're a Christian. You should never have to tell them. They should be able to see it on your face, hear it in your voice, and feel it in your spirit. They should see it. That's walking with the Lord. That's truth. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what you believe. But if you have Jesus in your heart, they should see it. And that's the Spirit. That's God. Hallelujah. Stand up and sing with us this morning. Please sing nice and loud to our Lord Jesus in heaven. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
Understand, We needed to turn the clocks back a little bit just to slow it down. But listen to the lies. Nobody says you can't get an abortion, amen? Their abortion is not ended. Listen to the lies that they have to tell you. Listen to how far they have to go to demand that you hear them, amen? We don't have to lie. We all choose life. It's that simple, right, Brother Jim? Listen to what they're telling. Oh, it's going to put women back. No, women can still get abortions. Can I get an amen? They can still do it. We just kind of stop the clock. Make people stop and think. You're not going to change your mind. Please understand it. You're not going to make a Red Sox fan be a Yankee fan. Sorry, Mary, but just can't do it. So stop trying to change your mind. You just stand on the truth. You say, well, how many weeks would be enough for choice? Because you made a lot of... Let me tell you something that you might not know. Amen. I want to get to the message. You don't get a virus. You don't get a cold and become with child. A woman has never been pregnant through a virus. Amen? We had the COVID. People get sick. But you don't go to bed one night and wake up with a baby. You've made choices to get choice. How many? Many choices to get to that point. So what choice do they say? I'm pro-choice. Which one? You made a lot of them because you didn't get pregnant just by waking up in the morning, amen? Am I telling the truth?
Yes.
It's the truth. See, I don't have to lie. You know, there's no virus. You didn't get an infection and I woke up and I'm pregnant now. No, you made a lot of choices. And selfish choices? Yes. Amen? But just stand on the truth. Don't be righteous. Don't be self-righteous. Don't be arrogant. Don't look. You know, pray for them. You got somebody that comes up to you and they're mad at you. Pray for them. You understand the prayer that they need? You got people defending the right to take a baby's life. Pray for them. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Responsive reading. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Yeah, beautiful. You have tested my heart. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of my heart. Praise you, Lord. First shot of electricity brought it back into rhythm. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have proposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Uphold my steps in your path, that my footsteps may not slip.
I have called upon you, for you are my God.
Yes, Lord, thank you. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against you.
Keep me as the apple of your eye.
I wouldn't want that. Keep me as the apple of your eye. You're talking to God, our Father in heaven, amen? Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. What a beautiful thing. I like it. Don't tell me you don't like that. Which of the following is not one of the books of the Bible? Which of the following is not? No looking, God. You don't know. Nehemiah, Ezekiel, Hezekiah. Which one is not a book in the Bible? How many Nehemiah is not a book in the Bible? How many Ezekiel, not a book in the Bible? How about Hezekiah, not a book in the Bible? Where's my pen? The truth, a king of Israel, but not inspired to write, Hezekiah. It's not a book in the Bible. You got that one right, your birthday girl over there. What brings forth fruit? Now, fruit, is everybody knows, is good things. Amen. Good things in your life. Blessings. What brings forth the fruit? Is it confessing God's word? Is it the gospels? Is it fellowship with other believers? What brings forth fruit in your life? How many think it's confessing God's word brings forth good things? Amen. How many think it's the gospels that brings forth fruit? Anybody? How many think fellowship with other believers brings forth fruit? What brings forth fruit? The truth of the gospel. And the gospels are about who?
Jesus.
Any confession, see, the truth of God. Paul references the scripture describes a stumbling block placed before Jews. What was it? Paul references in Romans a stumbling block that was placed before the Jews. Was it Jesus? Was it God's laws? Or was it Gentiles? The stumbling block placed before Jews. How many think it was Jesus? That was the stumbling block. How many think it was God's laws? God's laws? How many think it was Gentiles? Whoever shall believe on him.
Jesus
was the stumbling block. They couldn't get around it. They couldn't get over it. It was too easy. No, that can't be right. There has to be more. I got one more. The bride in the Son of Solomon compared her husband's eyes to what? To the sea, her beautiful blue eyes. To doves, birds, and to honey, brown, beautiful brown eyes. The bride in the Song of Solomon compared her husband's eyes to what? How many think the sea, the beautiful blue sea? She's going to go and see. How many doves? Anybody going to pick doves? Anybody? How many honey, beautiful brown eyes? What made you pick doves? You like doves? The bride in the Song of Solomon compared her husband's eyes to doves' eyes. Way to go, Zippy, for his birthday. Here you go. You get a free ticket to the next show Doreen and I do. And you get a free ticket for next Sunday's church. She compared her husband's eyes to dove's eyes. I guess there must be peacefulness about it. Amen? A beautiful thing. All right. Thank you, Lord. I'm not stopping. Are y'all ready? Are you, Judy, are you, how you doing? Good morning, Judy. You're shining and smiling. David, how you feeling, by the way, brother? You're here today. Thank you, Lord. Be easy on Dave later. Don't be patting him on the back. I need a church alive, so I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try to get excited during this next sermon. I'm really going to make an effort. Not to be just quiet and shy. Faith without works. How many have ever heard that? You heard faith without works? What faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But there is one little thing that comes before faith. Much more important than faith. More important than faith, God? Yes, more important. Faith in God is a good thing. Amen?
Amen.
God exists. You believe it. God exists. Faith is believing, yet there is still the sin thing traveling around. Am I, after all, he is God, right? I want salvation. Am I good enough? Have I done enough? How is my faith level? How high is the bar? Does God see me? Does God hear me? What can God do? What can he give me to help me? I have faith. The awesomeness of my God, the awesomeness of this God, our God, the great loving all in all, he has given us something greater than faith. He has given us grace. Say it with me.
Grace.
Greater than faith. You gotta, his grace has made us accepted in the beloved with God and Jesus. His grace has made us accepted in heaven with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It was by his what? His grace. Did you earn it? No. Don't get ahead of yourself. No man can accomplish this. No effort. No great speech. No great amount of money. We are all equal. The rich and the poor. The haves and the have-nots. That is a stumbling block for man. You know why? They want something. They want power. Only God gets the glory. Amen? With God's grace, only he gets the glory. It's been that plan. I believe that it's been his plan all along. All along, since the beginning of time, that God's plan was, I'm going to show these people my grace, my love, unmerited favor to you from God. Hallelujah. To pour out his grace, shower it on everybody, for us and his people, for us and his people to do the same thing. Hear what I'm saying to you. He's giving you grace and he's expecting us to give grace. Amen? He expects us, we received it and he's saying, give the grace, pour out my grace. Forgive us. Lord, forgive us for our trespasses as we
forgive those.
Grace. He's expecting us. He didn't put that in the Lord's Prayer for nothing. You read it every Sunday. That line in there, boy, that's the one. And that's His grace. He's saying, I gave you grace. I gave you grace. Now you show the grace that I've given you. It's been His plan all along. Grace, unmerited favor, unearned, given freely. How is He giving it? Freely. To the undeserved. Came for sinners, not for righteous. Amen? Now listen, fair pay for work. Anybody ever worked a job? And you got paid, that's called wages, amen? Anybody ever compete? Did you ever win a trophy for competing? He won a prize. He won the trophy, that's called a prize, amen? For a great achievement, what do they do, Jim? They give you an award. Someone not capable of earning a wage can win no prize or deserves no award, yet receives such a gift, unmerited favor, grace, a picture of God in you. They couldn't do anything, but God gave it to them. He gave His Son to cover our sins. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It cost you nothing. How much?
Nothing.
You never asked. Yet we act as though we are not worthy when the debt has already been paid in full. Can you believe that? We act like we're not worthy to be with God, to pray to God, to talk to God Himself. Act like that. And when the debt's already been paid, what are we doing? Amen. We act as though we're not worthy. Oh, we must make more rules, more laws. Not unbelievers, trust me, not unbelievers, but believers. Other churches, other people standing in a pulpit say, I'm going to make more laws. Change it. Believers, churches, really? God said we are saved by His grace. Amen? But man says, even in churches, believers say, oh, I got to do more. Oh, no, you got to do more to earn it. You can't just, you can't, really? Are you with me? So what do we do with God's grace? What do we do with the things we cherish the most? You got your Buffalo Bill thing. You love those things. Right in your heart. My Yankee things, Lord.
What happened?
Cherish. To cherish means to adore, to treasure, to hold dear in the heart. To receive, listen to this, I'm not stopping. To refuse the gift is to refuse God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He has given it already. It's already done. He paid the price in full. It belongs to you. Look at each other. Look at everybody here today. They have received God's grace. Be careful how you talk about it. Be careful what you say, because they're in the grace of God. Amen? Understand that. The price has been paid in full. It belongs to you. But to refuse it, not to receive the grace, not to accept the grace, not to acknowledge the grace, is the unpardonable sin. See, why, Pastor? Because if you don't acknowledge God, you don't acknowledge the grace, you don't accept it. To leave it behind, to walk away, to deny it ever came, is to deny God. So if you deny God, you'll never ask God for repentance. You'll never ask God to help you. You'll never ask God for it because you denied to God. That's the unpardonable sin. He can't forgive you if you haven't asked for it. He can't forgive you if you haven't reached for Him. So to refuse the grace, amen, is a horrible thing. So what could be worse than that? Can I get an amen? I mean, really, what could be worse than that? Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you. How about those who have received grace and claim grace, then abuse grace? Abuse, perverted its meaning. Ooh. False prophets, teachers, and leaders. They claim the grace, they have the grace, but they won't give you the grace because they want a power. They want to stand over you. And somehow they want to tell you you're not worthy yet. You haven't achieved being worthy. False prophets and teachers. Grace is the gift of God. Say that with me. Grace is the gift of God. It is your salvation, not of yourself. Faith is an action. Amen? Understand this. Faith is great. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But faith is an action, something that you do, something that I do. Grace opens the door to faith. Understand that. Grace opens the door to faith. Accepting Him, accepting His gift. The seed planted that produced, ready? Faith. I mean, you could say you believe God, but if you don't know God, what do you believe in? And I hate that expression. I don't mean to say hate, but you believe in God. What do you mean in God? I believe God. In God. You believe in oxygen? You believe in air? I believe in air. I can't see it. I believe air. I believe gravity. Anybody here believe gravity? Or do you believe in gravity? I believe gravity. If I fall down, I'm going to be on the floor. Praise the Lord. It's something that is given. That's the step that produces faith. To demand, this is great, to demand one needs faith first. To demand, listen to what I'm saying, one needs faith first to receive grace. That one thing removes the gift really given to us from God. So if I tell you you have to have faith before you get grace, that means you have to do something to earn what God has given you. Imagine that. People teach that. People feel that way. You have grace. He gave it to you. But I say, no, you have to have faith before you get grace. No, it doesn't work that way. You see, faith is wonderful, but it's not grace. See? Grace brings us to the beloved. Amen? Grace because it was given by God. Nobody can take it from you. Don't get ahead of yourself. Thank you, Lord. His grace never ebbs. I love that. I wrote that down and said, that doesn't even sound like me, but His grace never ebbs. It never fades. It never grows old. From our birth, it remains bright and shining. No rust, not forgotten. Faith sits right, grace sits right beside you, rides with you, travels with you all around the unbeliever until the darkest hour of a sinner. Grace awaits. Grace is there. It never tires. It never grows old. It doesn't get in. You can be the worst person in the world. You can all of a sudden, in the darkest hour of your life, at the end of your life, if something happens in your life, and you stop and you get on your knees and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Understand this. This is your God. This is how great your God is. At that moment, you say, Lord, I'm sorry. And He looks at His grace and flows over you. Because He's given you grace, and you finally accepted the grace. Understand that. It's been waiting for you. It never got tired. God didn't forget that He gave you grace. The worst sinners in the world, Madison said, how can that be? And it's because God loves like that. He loves, He wants the heart. He wants everybody to be saved. God wills everybody to be saved. Like I said, and we'll get to that. If you fall down, He'll lift you up. You throw yourself down, and the Bible tells us over and over again, He'll leave you there. Well, that was what you wanted to do. No matter what I tell you, you're going to do it anyway, so go ahead. But His grace awaits the sinner. We're all sinners. But in that darkest hour, somebody calls to God, and that grace shines like the brightest light you ever saw. Flows over him. Hallelujah. Amen? Grace does not need to increase. Yes, yes, yes. Come on. It doesn't need to increase. It doesn't. It can't be traded. You can't sell your grace. You can't give it away. Even Mary was full of grace. Done. By grace we have been saved. It's done. You had nothing to do with it. You have the gift. Every man and woman born has the gift of His grace. You must simply accept it, take it, hold it, see it, believe it. Oh yes, it's yours. To deny it is denying God. It's that simple. Are you ready? I tell you, this God in the Bible is great. This is, it is grace that can heal the nation. Grace. His grace, one word, can heal the nation. Heck, it can heal the world. It can. I believe it with all my heart. We're too stingy. We're too emotional. We're too angry, too proud. Yet grace awaits a healing nation. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. One word. One word. But we're too stingy with it. We're too emotional. How many people are emotional? God, I see it every day. People are nuts. And they're too angry with people. And they're too proud. Yet grace awaits a healing nation. Faith can be strengthened. How many know that's true? You get prayers answered. Marianne was sick. We've been praying and praying and praying. And Marianne and Jim are back in church. That's a prayer answer. That's why I tell you on Sunday, don't miss a prayer answer. Amen. Don't let it go. It's a prayer answer. And when God answers our prayers, we get stronger, which means our faith gets stronger. Prayers answered builds faith. But grace is sufficient. Grace doesn't need to increase. Grace is everything. Praise God. Bible study Tuesday night, by the way. If he gave his son for us, what more do we require? If he gave his son, he sent his son down and died on the cross. Oh my God, what he went through. What else do you want from God? Well, Pastor, there are other laws to follow, or we can lose our salvation. Anybody? Well, you got to do this, you got to do that. What laws? Whose laws? What price did you pay to God? Anybody? But now we have to pay a price to man? Really? I got to go to somebody else to go to God. I got this grace. Let me, I wrote this down and I want you to hear it. Men should be on their knees humbling themselves before such foolishness. God said, and Jesus said what they said. Just read it. He said what they said. My grace is sufficient. I pour out my grace, you are saved. Grace, I've given my grace. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's sufficient. Men should be on their knees humbling themselves for saying that you need to do one more thing to be accepted. One more thing. I wrote this down. I always think of Brother John. The wrath of God, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the wrath of God is not a thunderstorm. It's not a tornado, it's not a hurricane, it's not a blizzard. How many ever see that? Oh, people, oh, the second coming. Oh, there was an earthquake. That's God coming back. Oh, there was a blizzard, and we got more snow. Oh, the storm was, that's God. Let me tell you, that's joking, right, Brother John? The wrath of God blows that stuff up. You see the wrath of God, Sodom and Gomorrah, you can't even find it. They don't even know where it is on the map. What happened to Moses with those people that defied God? The ground opened up. They went in the ground and closed it up again. That's the wrath of God. You don't want to see it. Please don't pray for it. You don't want to see the wrath of God because it's not going to be a thunderstorm. It's not going to be a hurricane. It's going to be big. Hallelujah. You think of it, you know, say the things are like Brother Fred said last week, bless his heart. He said he wanted, well, I wish God would do more. He wanted to feel justice. I said, be careful with that. Because when God comes to justify, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be huge. You give what we have received. And the world would change overnight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why aren't they saying this on TV? Joel Osteen, well, tell the people. Give what we have received from God and the world would change overnight. If God gave us grace and we gave other people grace, imagine the difference. You don't demand something that doesn't belong to you. You don't take something. You apologize. You love one another. If somebody's in need, you help them. That's overnight. The world would change giving what we receive. They should be on TV. Hallelujah. Overnight. Say that with me. Overnight. This God can do it. Somebody, we saw on Facebook on the way down here that somebody, a preacher man in Seattle who preaches down the street got assaulted by people and they beat him up pretty bad. And they took his Bible and they tore his Bible to pieces and ripped all the pages out of the Bible. And I'm just saying, really? You know how many Bibles there are in the world? You tore that little book. It's a book. The Bible's a book. How many know the Bible's a book? Somehow tearing up the message changes it. Somehow ripping up the Bible and beating this guy, you're going to get your point across, right? It just makes, you know, I felt bad for the guy. Of course, he got hurt and he tore up the Bible. But I said, it's a book. I'm banging on the Bible. See, he's banging on the Bible. I'm banging on God's Word. I'm standing on God. If I'm standing on God's Word, I can pound on it once in a while. Amen? We're all standing on work. But I said, if you tore up the Bible, now, that was really powerful. You took an inanimate object and ripped it up. Boy, that's a lot of, whew. So I ask you this. I say, give what we have received and the world will change overnight. I believe it. I'm sorry. What is the cost? What did you lose? If everybody did it, what did they lose? But what would be the gain? Amen? Think about it. Some just demand from those they don't know. Amen? Some talk of God who they never knew. I like it. Some condemn the word that they have never read. Amen? That's foolishness. Let me say that. I got that circle. I like that. Some just demand from those they don't know. Reparation from people they never met. They'll never
differently, but they want something back. Some talk of God who they never knew. They tell you what God is, all the hate speech and stuff. They don't know God. And the best one is some condemn the word of God that they have never read. How is that? Condemning something you've never read, you don't know what's in there, so please don't get your information from God on Facebook. Please don't get it from online. Forgiveness, grace, peace, and love are far from their hearts. That's an amen. No desire to give but to take. Zero responsibility for anything, any pain, any hurt, and any destruction. There's buildings that were torn down and burnt down by people, and people lost their jobs. People went to bed that night in Minnesota and woke up the next day, no job, no business, no money, no finances, none of it. And they said, well, that was okay, that was good, that was good. Are you kidding? Ask them how they feel about January 6th. I don't mean to bring it up, but it's the truth. They're worried about January 6th, but ask those people who lost their livelihood, who had a business all their life, they had a little grocery store, and they ran it, your mother's had it, your father's had it, they had it, woke up one day and it's gone. In the name of what? For the gain of who? Praise God. There's no forgiveness. There's no responsibility. And people are defending that. Responsibility, I wrote this down, the moral obligation to behave correctly towards or in respect of. Wow. Let me tell you something else to make you think. Grace at a tremendous cost. An unthinkable price. Grace. A cost. A price. Jesus on the cross. That was the cost of the grace that you have. That was the price that God paid. His only begotten Son on that cross to die, to get beaten, get whipped, and everything. That was the price of grace that he has given to you. Amen?
Amen?
For by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace is the gift freely given because you have faith. You believe in action. You are saved. We do not deserve to be saved on our own. I'm sorry, that's the truth. You want the truth? How many want the truth? We do not deserve to be saved on our own, but the gift from God completely removes the deserve. Eliminate any work or deed or action that man can come up with to earn it. That's what God did. You can't buy it, you can't trade it, you can't earn it, you can't be good enough. It was his grace that made you good enough. We do not deserve to be saved on our own, but the gift from God completely removes the deserve. Eliminates any work or deed or action that man can come up with to earn it. So why do they do it? Why do they make more laws? Why do they do that? For control, for power, so they may be a little higher than you. This church, this religion, anybody ever heard, you have to be in this is the only one true place for God. This is the place to receive God. This is the only place you're going to, anybody ever hear that in religion, a denomination, a church? This is the only place you're going to receive God. This is where you need to be to find God. This is where you need to, are you kidding me? God gave me his grace. I didn't need to be in a church. I've been saved by grace from God himself. I go to church to hear the word of God, to learn the word of God. But I don't need to be there to be saved because God gave it to me. You didn't give it to me. No church gave it to me. No pastor, no preacher, no priest, no anybody, no pope. God said, by grace you've been saved. Well, thank you, Lord. They want to steal your thunder. No. Oh, this is the only place. I've heard that in many denominations, many religions. I had friends who were of a religion where they felt that way. That you had to join, before you could join God, you had to join the religion. Oh, it's okay, whatever. Grace is the beginning principle and the continuing principle of Christian life, a life with God. How many want a life with God? I do. Grace leads us to be humble. That's why I say, don't be proud. You got something that sounded good and feels good. Don't be proud. Just humble. And to do better, not our will but his. Grace shows us forgiveness and love. Showing grace lifts us up to a world lacking in grace. Hallelujah, yes. It shines the light on brighter. Good versus bad. If you tell the truth, amen, somebody burning a business down is not good. That's bad. Can I get an amen? It's bad. Say it's bad. You got good and you got bad. If you allow bad to be good, then what happens? What you see? grace allows God to pour out His blessings on us. We are living and acting in His grace. This word, this God, the life is why I believe God can heal us in one word. I believe He can heal us in one word. God, the God of the Bible, one word in this Bible, the most powerful explosion ever seen, called grace.
We can't give it because it costs too much. I might lose something. I might have something. I may be able to get some money somewhere from somebody I don't know. So I can't give you that forgiveness. I can't. Well, my ancestors were Indians. I can't. Oh, what you did to the Indians. Oh, that was a long time ago. I don't remember that. I wasn't here with Pocahontas, Sitting Bull. I read about it and I love reading about it. Amen. I love reading about that. History. Everybody like history? History shows us something very interesting. Are you ready? Nations have fought against nations since the beginning of time. Nations fighting against. Christians were slaves to Rome. Please tell somebody. Christians were slaves to Rome. Slavery is so awful. It's unthinkable. But Christians were slaves. They were burning Christians for light. They would put them on the coals and put oil on them and light them so they had lights. Christians were slaves to Rome. Can I get an amen? Jews were slaves in Egypt. Slaves. Making the bricks, making this, doing that, getting this, feeding that. Praise God, right? Tell somebody. Indians. I love reading about Indians. If you got in a book on Native Americans, I love reading them. Indian nations fought to the death with each other. Amen? You go look it up. You look at the Indian nations and they fought to death with each other. They hated each other. Hallelujah. Not only that, but they took from other tribes and they brought them to their nation. And what did they do with them? They made them what? Slaves! Indians fought with another nation. They beat them. They Cherokee beat the Apaches and they brought them to the Cherokee nation. And they made them slaves. They made women slaves. Indians. No different. Nations sold their poor into slavery. That's another thing. That's the truth. Nations took the poorest of the people and they sold them into slavery. We didn't invent it. We ended it. 600,000 deaths tried to end slavery because we saw how bad it was. But it's nothing that we invented. Well, we talk about it. What do we do to the Indians? What did the Indians do to the Indians? Amen? They took women. Indians took the women and made them slaves. They took people from, read about it. They took people from other nations after they fought the war with a bow and arrow, with tomahawks. And they took them and they brought them back and they made them slaves. Who's going to pay them back? And nations, I guess the worst one is nations sold their poor into slavery. Amen. Just read about it. Look it up. Those men and women who came here from other countries, they came here from somebody's home. They got on a boat. Somebody put them on a boat. They tied them up. Somebody tied them up. Somebody made money. Somebody. People sold people into that. They didn't care. They were making money. You look down at the cartel right now, what's happening on our southern border. People are making money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars selling people. Getting people in traffic. It's unbelievable what people are doing for money. But tell me about the Indians. I have a friend who's an Indian. I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Really? Well, what did your tribe do? Did your tribe ever kill another person? What are you talking about? The Thanksgiving is saying things aren't the same now. Shouldn't you be thankful of that? Grace overcomes everything. Can I get an amen? Amen. Forgiveness sets a world free to live. See how God with one gift can heal all of us. Grace, unmerited favor. So I ask you this today, closing. Why say no? Ask anybody to forgive and say, why say no? For what game is somebody going to say no? Anyone? Anyone's game? What? Why say no to forgiveness? Let he who is without sin say no first. Let he who is without sin say no first. It's because of pride, foolish anger, and self-seeking. It's wanting something from somebody you never met. Our God is great. Your God is so great. The Bible is great. Jesus is great. Your God is so great. Our Father who art in heaven is so great. Our God, his answer to hate, his answer to revenge, his answer to anger, his answer for a better life, to a better world, is simply one word. Grace. That changes the world. That's how big your God is. And one word in this big book changes the world. Give him praise this morning and show praise. Tell people about praise. He gave it to me. Jesus.
Good. Woo! I got to do the whole thing, Jamie.
Amen.
No turning back now. Come on. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I'm not worthy, Lord. What are you talking about? My son died for you. How could you not? I ate for my cake. Don't let break here. And I didn't get a taste of mine with it. Friday night, they had a party for me, and they brought out this beautiful cake that I never got a piece of. Actually, I can't blame Grace, because he only got like two little squares of the cake. And that's all he got, too. And my wife said they cut a piece for me, and they put it, we had a little a fireplace that had a little one laying on it, and they put a piece back there. She said, did you get it? I said, I didn't even see it. Somebody else got it. Must have been Flo.
Oh, yeah.
There's cake around, too.
I put it in
the
box.
I'll tell you what. I don't care what religion, I don't care what you think or what you feel about me, you know. It's just your God. Like grace. Nobody deserved it. Nobody earned it. See, that's why people, some people in power can't get, you see, because it's got nothing to do with them. They can't add to it, they can't subtract to it, they can't pay credit for it, because God alone gets the glory. That's God. You read the book, that's God. Our God gets the glory because it's his grace. His. And he gave it to us. I really feel sorry, I wanted to do something today, and I forgot, funny I did. I wanted to give each and every one of you a dollar bill when you walked in. I wanted to get that. And I wanted everybody to look at it and say, what's this for? And I would just say it was grace. That you all got for just nothing. See, that's grace. God gave you his grace. You go outside and look around for what? Because he loves you. And he loves you. So you have grace. And that grace is power. And that grace, that one word can heal the world. You know they're not going to do it, amen? You know people aren't going to let go of things because they want something. They want something, and that's all they care about, they think about. And they hate. And hate is the opposite of grace. Hate is the opposite of God. You can't love and hate at the same time because it just doesn't work that way. But if we just show grace, if the church is just taught grace, things would be different. If people had a church, I saw it at 10,000 people, talking about grace. Let them leave the church. Let them leave the church saying we need to show more grace. But let them leave the church saying we need more of God. That was a great message. No, it's God's message. Grace saves us. Hallelujah. He gave his son. Don't let man get in the way of that. Don't let man tell you you need something else. It says about being baptized, but baptized is just another action. Yeah, you should be baptized because he said to be baptized. Not as a baby, but as an adult old enough to say, I want to be baptized. You should do that. It's got nothing to do with being saved by grace. See, that's done. It's already paid for. Done. You own it. You go to a restaurant and you pay your bill for your meal. Do you ever go back the next day and say, that was real good. Let me go back there and pay him another $20.
Yeah.
Why not? Because you paid the bill. He paid the bill. Why couldn't someone eat you? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That is grace. One word in that big old book. I believe. That's why I believe God can. But he needs us to act like Christians. Not be stingy, not be grabbed, given. That doesn't mean you give all your pay away, don't give up. No, you just need to show grace. Mercy. When you argue with somebody today, don't be fooled. Don't fall into that. Just pray for them. Say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. I don't agree with what they're saying. I'm going to pray for you. You might be right, I might be right, but I'm going to pray for you because you seem to be mad at me for my decision. I'm not mad at you. I've never gotten mad at anybody ever got an abortion. I've never got mad at anybody that ever been a sinner. Anybody, somebody sinned against me. Somebody, I don't get mad. You don't get mad. I don't. Why are you getting mad at me? Because I don't agree. Just simply because you're not an anything. I don't get mad. And I know you're laughing, but that's what I'm trying to say. That's how in deep it is inside people. Well, you don't go to this church. Well, I'm not mad at you for not coming to this church. I just wish you'd go to a church and hear about God. But I'm not mad. What are you mad about? I'm going to pray for you. We're never going to agree on this, but I can agree to tell you that I'm going to pray for you. That somewhere you find peace, because you're not finding peace in your anger. I found peace in my God. I know the truth, and that sets me free. I choose life. You choose life too, right? You got a brother and sister, you choose life. You got a mother and father, you choose life. I love what Ronald Reagan said, and I'm just loving it. He said, the only people who are protesting and this pro-abortion thing have already been born. When I think about that, I think that, Jim, that really makes sense. The only people protesting are already been born. So they have a right to protest. The babies? Anyway, hallelujah. That's the message for today. That's for you guys and for me and for this church, for this body, for you to be stronger. Amen? We have the message of the cross. Sister Marianne, we did a sermon on the cross a couple of weeks ago, talking about the cross itself shows us that we were sinners, and it shows us what sacrifice is, and it shows us after the cross of salvation. That's why we never stop at the cross. Walking to the cross, we walk as sinners. Getting to the cross, we get forgiveness. Walking past the cross, we receive salvation. That's why I wear my cross. It just reminds me of the cost of what everything I have. And that simple reminder of me. I don't idolize this cross, but this reminds me of Jesus. Because of what he did on the cross. Amen? That's right. Somebody should have said, well, you died on the electric chair. Where you wear the electric chair? Now you see me fool. This reminds me that I'm a sinner. It reminds me of the sacrifice that he gave and then my salvation. And all he asks of people, they get crazy about this. People come to church, oh, I don't do that. He just says to be thankful and to thank him and do this in remembrance of him. That's all he asks. He doesn't ask you for your firstborn. He doesn't ask you to sacrifice everything. He just said, do this in remembrance of me, as Jesus did with the bread when he gave it to the disciples this morning. In Jesus' name, we remember. What he shed on that cross shall not be in vain. We are covered by the blood of Christ, which means when God looks down from heaven, he sees that around you, the blood of Christ. He said, because my blood, your sins are forgiven. So he just said, to drink this and do this in remembrance of him for the remission of our sins. Lord, forgive us this morning. Make us clean and cleanse us, Lord, for the iniquities and all the words and feelings, Lord. Help us to show more grace. Let this be the beginning of the grace of your Lord, as we show God, we show the people God in one word. We do this in remembrance of you, in Jesus' name. I thank my church for all your prayers for me, all the things that I went through are different in my life. I've learned so much. I thank you for the prayers. The doctor shocked my heart on Tuesday. He only had to do it one time. So I went back in. You may not know, but I prayed for my wife because it was supposed to be 1 o'clock. I was in the OR at 10 minutes to 1. And then they didn't come, they didn't talk to me for an hour, and my wife's out in the waiting room thinking, well, it was 1 o'clock, and it was only going to take 15 minutes. And I'm sitting there on the table noting, and they finally came over and they said to me, a little boy just got shot in Waterbury. Your anesthesiologist and your doctor are on call down there. And they stabilized the little boy, and they flew with him, the little boy, to the children's hospital. So it wasn't until almost 10 minutes to 3 before I had my procedure. And they said, thank you for not being upset. Like I said, they're very upset. I give thanks that that doctor and NCDLS were there to save that little boy's life. But my wife, you know, the person who doesn't go through it is going through more than the person who does. She's out there thinking it's 3 o'clock. They told me 10 minutes, and it was at 1 o'clock. And finally, I asked one of the nurses before they did it, could you just go tell my wife that she finally came over and said, it's going to be a little while, there was an emergency in the ER. I said, could you just go and tell her? And then she told me it was about 15 minutes after that before they finally told her. My daughter's on, you know, what's wrong with dad? How come it's taking? And so, you see, you never know. Imagine they said to me, thank you for not being upset. Praise God. Well, thank you for your prayers. I want you to do something for me. I want you all to turn and lift your hands up. Lift up your holy hands to my brother Phil. Phil's in the corner, your brother Phil. I love this man. I met this man. He's just a beautiful man. He's going through so much more than I have ever thought of going through, and he needs an operation. They're going to do it in July. But we need to pray for him. We need him to feel God's hand on him. We need to feel the love of this church on him, Lord. Lord, he needs to feel strength. He needs, I know, Lord, that his knees are going to be shaken, Lord. I know, Lord, because we're human. But Lord, let him feel peace that he didn't understand, even as he leaves today. And let him know that you're with him and that your brothers and sisters are praying for him, Lord. We're asking that the doctors be miraculous, that their hands be miraculous, and the work that they do, Lord, heals him completely, Lord. That's the key. Because after what they do for him, he will feel better than he does now, which is a miracle. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that he just stay strong and stay focused and know that everything's going to be good. God's got him in his hands, and he's got people in this church who are praying for him, who are believing God for him, who love him, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to touch him and give him strength and give him peace, Lord, and let him know that he's going to feel better, better after the doctor does his miracle. And I pray for his wife, Judy, Lord, because she's going through it too. She's got to live with him being irritable. Praise God, I know my wife lived with me being irritable and being a baby and being afraid of things that I never saw. So we need Judy to have strength and peace to understand that he's going through and he's afraid too, just like all of us would be. We all would be. So she needs strength and she needs extra peace that surpasses her understanding. As a woman, Lord, I know that's a lot of work, Lord, for you to give a woman understanding beyond and peace beyond their understanding, Lord. Praise God. But give them that. We love them at the Second Congregational Church, Lord. We lift up our hands for you, Lord, for them. And we lift up Brother Phil to be healed, to come back. I hope he comes back every Sunday, Lord. But when he has that operation, we want to see him back here healthier than he's been in years, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, the church says, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Any announcements?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take this offering, Lord. Your people give this freely, a free will offering they give from their heart to you, Lord. Bless this church, Lord. We promise that we'll stand on the word of God, Lord. We will stay on that rock. We will stand on that rock. We will not waver, Lord. We will give them truth. And the truth this morning is your grace. Your grace is sufficient to change the world. If only people would hear the message, people would realize that we are saved by grace, a gift from you, given by God to his people who believe. Lord, we take this. We thank you for all our blessings. Every single gift that we have, Lord, if we see every gift from you, Lord, it would raise us higher to want to do more for you, Lord, to be more, to be the light that shines brighter, Lord. We will not be foolish. We will not argue foolishly with people. We will stand on your word. We will stand on the truth. And we use this, Lord. We use this offering from your people, for this church, Second Congregational, for this building, to bring people to healing and people to love. And people, the unity, Lord, that's what this is about. Unity in this church from your people. Bless it in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. We're seeing a lot of changes in the world. Let us be stronger. Let us be more vocal. Let us be braver to speak about God, the things of God. Give people hope. Don't give them hate. Give them hope. Give them love. Don't give them anger. Give them love. Give them forgiveness. Understand these people. They need prayer. They need help. So pray for them. Help them with the prayer. Believe God. Believe God for all of it. But believe God that His grace can change the world. I believe it. I know I'm a fanatic. I know I love my Yankees. Praise God. But I love Jesus a billion times more because He is. He is our all in all. And it's by His grace that we can heal the nation. One word in that Bible changes the world if they'll hear it. Amen? That's your God. Hallelujah. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the celebration. And thank you that Zippy's going to sing God Bless America on his birthday, boy. How old are you going to be, Zip?
68.
Yeah.
Can you bring
God? Give you peace in Jesus' name. See you.